This is Seattle's Morning News. Will robots take our jobs? Whether they take our jobs or not, they're certainly going to be changing them. And actually, in a way I hadn't considered until I read about a study by Beth Gutelius, who is a senior research specialist at the Great Cities Institute, which is part of the University of Illinois in Chicago. And first of all, tell me about your research. What exactly were you trying to discover here?
Well, I think, when we look at the conversation that's happening right now across the country and the quote unquote future of work, it's informed by a lot of these aggregate studies that look out over the next 20 years and say, okay, how many jobs are we going to lose due to automation? And I think UC Berkeley, the Labor Center and Working Partnerships USA, who commissioned this study, were interested in finding out what's going to happen over the shorter term. So if we look at the next 10 years, what kinds of technology are going to come online, and how is that going to change these jobs?
So you're focusing on warehouses specifically, like Amazon's warehouses, for example?
We did not speak with Amazon warehouse operators, but yes, it's the same industry. And I think what's interesting about the findings in part is that we ended up talking to a lot of Amazon's competitors. And so you can find out a lot, actually, about how folks are trying to cope with the changes that are happening and that in many cases in this industry are sort of brought on by Amazon's dominance.
So your headline says, or at least the headline on Vox.com for the piece that describes your work, says robots aren't taking warehouse employees' jobs. They're making their work harder. Now, that's counterintuitive. I thought the whole purpose of robots was to make work your work easier.
Right. I think there are cases in which robots could make these jobs easier. I mean, warehouse work is hard, right? You're doing a lot of lifting, you're twisting, you're walking. And so there are some of the technologies that are coming online are designed to take over some of that work. I think the problem is what we're likely to see is that all of these potential improvements in those jobs will be coupled with new methods of monitoring workers. So things like algorithmic management, these wearable devices and sensors and things like that, or autonomous mobile robots that lead a warehouse worker around a warehouse and can at a very granular scale really track workers' movements, walk speeds, routes, break times, so
yikes.
On and so forth.
So tell me, let's say I'm a warehouse worker. They're going to give me some kind of body sensor suit and it's going to send me messages about what I'm to do next?
I mean, some of this is already happening, not a body suit, but these scanners that do give immediate feedback to warehouse workers about whether they're hitting their rate or not.
I see. Now, you mention in your work that Amazon is actually using gamification to automate the workplace. Tell me about this game, Mission Racer, that the employees are playing when they are trying to fill customer orders.
It looks like a video game. You interact with it as a worker like a video game, and it basically takes your work rate. And I think there's different interfaces, right, where one is a race car, and with each item you pick or with each order you fulfill, your race car moves ahead. And so you're competing with your coworkers around you who also have race cars on this track. It's meant to sort of alleviate the monotony and the sort of repetitive nature of jobs, which it can do. It could also introduce a whole new level of kind of competition in these sort of weird dynamics that end up happening between workers as they're competing. You know, I don't think we as consumers think that much about the sort of ripple effects of our consumption decisions. You know, maybe it's an unpopular, no, I'm pretty sure it's an unpopular opinion, but we should be asking ourselves whether one-day delivery or two-hour delivery is really worth the repercussions that it's causing. And you could ask reach out and ask a warehouse worker that question. My hunch is they would say no. It's maybe not worth the physical and sort of psychological effects, some of which are going to long outlast that lemongrass eucalyptus candle that you purchased or the electronic toothbrush you ordered last week.
But there's also supposed to be an upside to this kind of robotification, which is that instead of just doing drudge work, you are managing robots, which means the potential for a higher pay scale, I would think.
That is possible for sure. And you need a lot of infrastructure, both public and private, to make sure that those career pathways happen, that workers who are right now picking things off of a shelf learn the skills necessary to go in and maintain the robots. In that scenario, if we look out 20 or 30 years to what people call dark warehouses, where there are very few workers, I mean, there are very few workers because it doesn't take that many workers to maintain those robots. So I think it's both a question of how do we move workers now into those, how do we prepare them now for those job pathways? But also, workers will be displaced, and we should be thinking proactively about how we support workers in transitioning to new industries.
And are we talking about retraining, or are we going all the way to something that presidential candidate Andrew Yang has talked about, that being a universal basic income, since we're going to end up with a lot of superfluous people?
I think we should, given that my research really focused on the short term, I would advocate for now to have workers be involved in these processes of technological change, for there to be retraining programs, for there to be funds for workers to support their families as these changes occur. In the long run, I think there are lots of different policies we could consider. A universal basic income is maybe one of them, but I don't think that that's the only, I don't think that it's a silver bullet. It's a very elegant policy. I don't think that that's our silver bullet for solving the problems in the economy.
What would your advice be for workers who have made a realistic assessment of their employability and they come to the conclusion, well, you know, physical work, warehouse type work is really the only work I'm qualified to do?
I think this is part of why we need public and private investment in training programs, because that's not a static state, right? Just because you're not currently qualified to do a certain job doesn't mean you can't become qualified to do it or learn the skills to do it. And also, it's important to figure out ways that workers can be involved in, that they can have a voice on the job. I think workers have a stake in companies succeeding, as maybe not as much as the employers do, but they, of course, have a stake in companies succeeding. And so I think they have a lot of expertise and experience working with the technologies, working with the processes that are happening in the workplace, and should be consulted.
Beth Cotelius is a senior research specialist at the Great Cities Institute, University of Illinois. Beth, thank you very much.
Thank you.